see how, we don't know. What's the size of the church? The size of the building is like BreadTalk, like that. You know the BreadTalk building? That's the height and the size. You know, you look at it, that whole building by itself, it's a church. I mean, that is the size of the church. So you can imagine how we don't fit. And they got security guards, because Indonesia, security guards. So gantry in, out, security guards. Even in the toilets, security guards. They have to, all uniform people, so that just in case any incident goes away, they cannot afford an incident like this. So there are security guards who will be there, you know, whole place there, and I thought, wow. You know, one of these days you have to make a thing. In India, we already have to employ security guards for the church. There's no other way now because of the, you know, possibly the danger and all that. So if the pastor goes out to do visitation, the church is empty. So you need the security guard there now. See, is this something that cannot be helped now, but that's how it works. And so there are this thing to look at. And security is of great, great significance and importance here. Again, I look at the massiveness of the church there. And you see, it's easy to build up a mess. It's not, well, not say easy, but it's not impossible to build up a massive church concept. Question is, who's going to take over? And leadership is a big issue there. And it's going to be a big issue over in India. It'll be a big issue over in Bethany when the time comes. Okay, so this word that we're going to study is important for us. It's going to be something that we cannot ignore. Okay, so we've been talking about, you know, fighting the giants and everything else. Who's going to be the next leader? Well, let's take a look at this very carefully. Okay, now the Lord said to Moses, go up into this Mount Abarim, and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. Okay, and when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people, as Aaron your brother was gathered. Okay, so this was idea. Of course, in that case, if he doesn't go up, he will stay on forever. But now, how long are you going to stay? You can't stay on forever. I mean, you're looking at, you're 120 years old. I mean, you're looking at, we know this how it works. So we, no matter how strong you may be, age will catch up. There's no question about it. Age will catch up with you sooner or later, right? And so he said, remember Moses asked, can I go over to the land? And the Lord said, no, you cannot go, and stop asking this for any further. Well, this is something that we need to appreciate, right? So the Lord said to Moses, go up and, And this is important. When you've seen it, you'll be gathered to your people. Right? Now, death is going to come. It's a matter of when. So my own personal prayer is, maybe this will also be true. The Lord will indicate when I will. It will be nice. I'm not saying we will have to. It will be nice to know. But it is also not easy to live with the fact that soon you will die. You know, it's sometimes not to know is better. If you know next year, then this year will be a bad year. Because you will, oh, you know, how many more days? It's a terrible way to live. So it takes a lot of maturity and strength to be able to realize that time is not on your side. Okay? Go up to this Mount Abarim, which is, you know, meaning to say soon. And this is a very big thing, this land, Abarim range. You know, Abarim is just simply a range, it's plural. So there are, you know, Mount Nebo and things like that. It's all part of the whole range. Okay, so the word is Abarim. That's what it is. Okay, and then of course you are not going to be, you know, going to the land. Now, over here, the word is, okay, you rebel against my commandment to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. Okay, so it is more than just the Lord said, speak to the rod. Moses struck the Lord. The rock. Can you see this? Now, it may seem, what's the problem, you know, speaking and striking. It's not the same. This was meant to be a different thing here. If he could speak to the rock, when was the last time you see anybody speak to any rock? Speak to the rock. You serious? Rock! Open up. People are thinking a bit nuts. Use the rod, you strike, a little bit more dramatic, a bit more powerful gesture. Speak to the rock. On the surface, we don't understand this. But this was actually the meaning behind it. It was not stated earlier. Right? But this is the meaning. You rebel. Wow. Can you see? One is the problem of rebellion. Now, that is a difficult thing. You see, every time we don't keep a commandment, it is not simply you did not keep. The deeper problem is called rebellion. We call this iniquity problem. So on the surface, it's a transgression. You broke the commandment. But what is the deeper reason? The deeper reason is the iniquity part of it. And that is the problem. And so the rebellion was there. And what was the rebellion? It was against the commandment of the Lord to hallow God's name. Okay? And this is something that we need to look at. This is told the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. And this is something that we need to understand and appreciate. And it's something that that is not easy to look at the practice of it, to hallow the Lord's name. And it seems to be a simple thing to do. It is not. So when the Lord says, this is how you should pray, hallowed be your name. Today I was reviewing all the Bible verses from Psalm 5, 2. Right? Hear the voice of my cry, O my King and my God, for to you I will pray. And I was just wondering, how many actually ever remembered that Psalm 5 and verse 2 as our first memory verse for this series? I'm not really going to ask you. Because most of us have forgotten. We memorize for that 1 week, and then next week, or in fact, sometimes the next day, sometimes the same day, it's always, we've forgotten it, unfortunately. See, the deeper issue was the hallowing of God's name. Now that was the thing that was missing. Hallow me before their eyes. You see, so this is iniquity level. This is the level that is much deeper. It's not the surface level is pretty straightforward. It's the deeper level that is more challenging to look at. Right? Now, if you just take a look very quickly to the book of Deuteronomy, you will see this. And, right? And the Lord, you know, tells Moses, stop asking about this thing here. And that is what you, chapter 1, okay? Moses talks about, talks to the people, to tell the people, the appointment of the leaders, setting it a plane, remind the people that the Lord fights for them. Okay? And this is very important, chapter 1. The Lord was also angry with me. There we go. So that is the anger of the Lord. So this is Numbers 27 as well. Right? The Lord was angry with me. Okay? And this is something that we need to look at. So we have additional word that is the anger of God. See? So you look at this idea of not hallowing, that is the anger of the Lord as well. Okay? And it's something that we want to consider. Okay? Chapter 3 now. Then I pleaded with the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God, you've begun to show your servant your greatness, your mighty hand, and all that. Right? I pray, let me cross over and see the good land beyond the Jordan, those pleasant mountains and Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me on your account and would not listen to me. So the Lord said to me, enough. Go up to top of Pisgah. See, now it's Pisgah. Nebo, Abarim. This is the mountain range here. Okay? And lift your eyes toward the west, the north, the south, the east. Behold, with your eyes, you shall not cross over this Jordan. And this is Numbers 27. Right? So this is important for us to understand very, very, very much. Okay? 13 to 14. So obviously, his role as a leader must come to an end, will come to an end. It will end soon. Okay, this does not mean that God is now displeased with him. He's going to take him out of. There are other reasons that are not stated. Of course, one of them is that his age. The next one would be, this is going to be warfare. You know, you cannot have a 120-year-old man going around doing these things here. I mean, that is impossible. You won't have the sharpness of, you know, that you need. But it's good to see this context of Deuteronomy 27. Numbers 27, Deuteronomy 1, and then Deuteronomy 3. As we look at it very, very carefully. Right? And so I pleaded with the Lord, you can ask the Lord, and the Lord said no. And this is important for us to understand. Okay? So this is the stage here. Though it doesn't mean he failed. It doesn't mean God was not pleased with him. It doesn't mean that God doesn't, he was unfaithful. It's just that in this particular instance, Moses had it not hallowed the Lord's name. I mean, the Israelites kept on rebelling. But, you know, there was a different thing for each one. But for Moses, this was over and that's it. Right? So this is important for us to take note of. Okay, so what do we do now? Then Moses spoke to the Lord saying, okay, this is now his prayer. What should you do? Now this becomes my prayer as well. Okay, and saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set the men over the congregation. Now, this is an important prayer. Okay? Now, this is where we're going to see one sets a man over the congregation. You need that clear leader. Okay? This is important. You need that clear leader. Now, this is something that we want to look at it. Okay? One who may go out before them, go in before them. This is leadership, who will go out and go in. Like a shepherd, you will go in, go out. This is leadership. You cannot do armchair work. You cannot do armchair leadership. That's impossible. Right? So this is something that you want to look at very, very carefully. We go out. Secondly, who may lead them. There we go. Go out, lead them. That's the idea. See, this has got a modifier here. And bring them in. See, lead, bring them in. It's the same idea. All right, go out, lead them. Bring them in, lead them. So one way, this person has got to be there to be able to do it. Okay, and this is important for us. So this is a good request, which have that the sheep... that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep with no shepherd. Remember Matthew 9? The Lord Jesus looked at the people. They were like sheep with no shepherd. You see, it's actually taken from here. We just don't know how biblical all the things are. But it's actually from here. Sheep without shepherd. So that's why he wanted to go and train the disciples so that they would not be sheep without shepherd. Now, obviously, the idea of sheep without shepherd is obviously important for us to look at. Otherwise, it becomes very, very, very critically important for us. It can go wrong. Okay, in Stephen Tong's church, the great challenge is always there, because among the people who are the leaders of the church, many of them are not just rich but super rich type. Many of them can actually build the whole building by itself on its one person's expense. That kind of wealth. We're not talking about, you know, a few million here, a few million there. We're talking about, you know, huge, huge sums. And being able to do that, I think that is really, really significant. But the role is always emphasized. It's a spiritual, not a material. I think this is important for us to look at, right? So how do you choose? So first, we got to recognize what leadership is all about here. Okay? Now, you have to get, it's not, the focus is not just the man, the idea is the leader here. And this leader must be able to go out, go in and go out and come in. Lead them out, lead them in. That is the role of the leader. And believe me, this role is not easy. You need the strength. You need the energy. You need the sense of direction. You need everything you have to go out and going in. Now, this is very important. The church cannot just simply be whole services. That's it. There is a lot of work. You know, literally, it's just endless work. Right? You just have to be there, and I think you have to look at it. You've got to go out, and you've got to come in. Now, this is the leader. Now, if we are tired already, just thinking about it, you can't lead. And if you try and lead and you get sick along the way, you can't lead. Because Moses led for 40 years, going out, coming in, leading out, leading in. And you need to know how the Lord is leading. You cannot do it on your own steam. And that is going to be a great challenge. Right? I mean, to lead a church that size over in Indonesia, that one is, I mean, it's just, and I thought I was traveling. The senior pastor there is on a plane every week. As in every week. You fly over to this place for a few days, minister there, come right back for weekend ministry, carry on. Monday goes again, as in every week. I thought I was traveling. That's amazing. And so that is really, really challenging to see. Right? So that's leadership. And Moses understands it. Of course, he knows, okay, Lord, I'm taking over. Somebody got to take over this work. Right? The people will have to be led in and out. There's got to be a very, very clear leader here. Now, this is obviously something that we must pray about. And this is something that we must pray about too. And I would want you to encourage you, please pray about this. What does it mean to lead Bethany? And not just Bethany, with Bethany, the IPC family, you know, this is something that we need to look at. In Nepal, last week, somebody wrote to me, says, the person said, Pastor, do you know that my church is also called Bethany Independent Presbyterian Church? Can we link with you? Can you lead us? Wow. So this is not a... By the way, there are a few people who have actually named themselves after us and using our material and actually conducting Bible schools material and all that from our website. Some of them write to me, say, can we borrow? Some of them do it anyway. But you know, it's there. And this one was a straightforward, you know. Well, this is something that we need to discuss very, very, very much. I've been really concerned about, you know, one of my old students actually has a missionary work enterprise in Indonesia. If you heard of the Batak Christians from Medan, I was impressed with the Batak many, many years ago. They were led by German missionaries many years ago. And they have got... I've seen these ladies in Medan going to wash their clothes early in the morning and singing. Singing hymns of praise to the Lord. I was very impressed. But, you know, I don't speak Indonesian, so I can't do very much there. So there was one person who has been in our church a few times already. Her name is called Roska. And she wrote to me recently and says, "Pastor, you know, I have been doing church planting work. You know, husband is a Korean man and supports her work. And she works particularly with the Batak churches. She called these traditional churches, but her word was these are all dead churches. And she tries to lead the people, bringing them the gospel and so on and so forth. She says most of these churches are sort of ongoing, you know, self-supporting, so they don't need support, except one. And so recently, she started a work of church called a Church of the Blind. Okay, and so she's asking, maybe we could help out there. I said, well, I need to talk to you. I don't want your help, but I want to see what is your work like, what's your plan like, what's your infrastructure like. You see, I don't think she has very much of that. The way I see things is, I go down there and visit, and I'll say a few words of encourage. She instructs people, she helps people. You know, I real concerned. How do we look at it? There's a lot of things to pray over. So I told the pastoral team here, it's not a question of starting out work. Question, can you handle it after I'm gone? That is the greater question. Now you have to prepare for the future. When I'm gone, who's going to take over? It's going out, it's coming in. Where are we going out? Which direction? How do we go out? What are the dangers? What are the problems? Can we face them? Can you bring them back safely? That is leadership. It's not easy. No, you just think about it, you just, wow, we just have one Sunday worship and people will just come and go. No, that's not how it works. Moses was right. You see, when you start a church, it's where you're going. Look at the Batak churches. They are old churches. They've been there for hundreds of years. But she's right. They're all dead. What happened to the leadership? From Germany, it's gone. All they have is money. But spiritually, they're dead. And many churches go that way. Got to go out, got to come in. We need this kind of leadership, obviously. Right? This is something that we need to think about very, very, very carefully. Now, here is the Lord's reply, and I like this. And so the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, I think that's important. Remember, there were two people. There were two people. One was called Caleb. One was called Joshua. Both of them were out together. In many ways, they were sort of equal. They were compatriots, right? They were co-leaders. And then suddenly, one gets singled out, Joshua. So he's singled out, and Joshua. Choose Joshua. Do I pray also, Lord, give me a name. You think it's easy? It's not. Right? So this is how the Lord identifies. First, okay, take Joshua, the son of Nun. No, not that he had no parents. Son of Nun. Nun is the word. This is a better word. The son of Nun. Okay? With you. Okay? Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you. Okay? This is truly a man who has been with Moses. Only one man was at the base of the mountain, wait for Moses. How many days does it matter? 40 days. He will be there 40 days.
Wow. 40 days again? Never mind. Do you know what it means to be there 40 days and 40 nights? You know, wow. It's really, 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 really challenging. You know, in Indonesia, many of the rich people, they all have got drivers for every single one. You know, father has one driver, mother has one driver, one son, one daughter, one. Everyone has a driver. At least, you know, five in the family, five drivers, five cars at least. Minimum. Let's not talk office cars, just five first. So this went, oh, what are the driver will be assigned to you? I said, what does your driver do? Nothing. He drives all the way to my workplace. Then he sits down there and do nothing until I come back. That's it. What is he doing? Nothing. He says, that's life there. What can I do? Nothing. Right? In Indonesia, Sunday is a car-free day. Car-free Sunday, car-free with no cars. Except, you know, my car can get in and get out. Because of exceptions, right? So all cars cannot be there except this car can go in and go out. I don't know how it works, but that it works. But that's how it is. Otherwise, how can you? Car-free day means no cars, right? The whole place is bizarre and all that. But can go out. Can. I don't know how it works out, but that's it. Can you see this? So now we are talking about this. Here it is. A man, this is the situation. What do you do? This is the man with you. Faithful. Oh, I thought this is amazing. I was amazing. Mr. S.K. Tan is now in a wheelchair. He's still fairly physically very healthy and strong, but he's basically in a wheelchair now. And he has one of his office people looking after him. And I sat with him for dinner and with a man next to him as well. Who wants to go and sit with men? I mean, you know, you cannot sit with him because everybody is scared of him for some reason. So I sat with him and he said, I have been attending to Mr. Tan for 46 years. Wow. He's a company director. His main task is to look after Mr. Tan. That's it. That's all he did. So he will cut his food, get his food, all written for him, everything is just there. His main task is look after him. Take Joshua, son of Nun, with you. Amazing. Can you imagine the faithfulness of a person with you for all these years? Through thick and thin. You want me to go out to go out to the land with faith? I will come back with faith. And I'm not going to chicken out. If there was one person that is absolutely loyal and faithful, Joshua was that man. Wow. So can you see the leadership thing over here? Now, that's not enough. Okay, set this man over. A man in whom the Spirit is the Spirit. Wow. Just one phrase. I hope you've been reading Filled with the Spirit. Please be prepared for some more days to go. Right now, you're only 50-something days right now. I'm on page past 80 already. So another month to go and still no end in sight. I better tell you first. 40 days was... Well, 40-something days, that's not too bad. I tried to squeeze in the 40 days, couldn't. But this one, I wasn't squeezing. I'm just going to let the scriptures just carry on and look at it and look at it in detail. In whom the Spirit is. In whom is the Spirit? Wow. I wish we had a green one. Then I can use green one to say, in whom the Spirit is. I use green to color my Bible to signify the work of the Holy Spirit. To represent growth. To represent green, you know, something, you know, green olive tree, something wonderful. So I use green to color my thing here. In whom the Spirit is. Was, no, is. I like that. You want to know what a person is like? Watch the spirit of the person. This is the most important, not how wealthy the people are. That's not important. You know, the church there had an 18-piece orchestra. We got no space.
18 pieces, a whole stage, a whole orchestra. That's it. I mean, that's the church. Wow. And they were all obviously very, the professional musicians, obviously. Right? I mean, we're looking at the thing here. Looking at the whole place, and they're doing the whole place there. The security guards all over the place. But that is not, we're not looking at, who's the organizer? Who's the security man? No point. It's who the Spirit is upon. That is hard. You're looking for wealthy people. They are this is not rich. It's a super rich type. We are not looking at a few things here. We're looking at an immense wealth kind of thing. But this is not what God is looking for. You're looking for a person in whom the Spirit of God is. Now that is the quality. It's hard to find. Where is the Spirit of God? Now, is he upon Caleb? Well, some. But you see, the Spirit of God is to anoint. The Spirit of God is to empower. It's to the seal as well. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, and he will identify the person who is there is Spirit anointed, Spirit filled, Spirit led, Spirit empowered. That is the leader. The next leader who is going to be leading the IPC family. That's my prayer. What's yours? There is no other way to pray. Can you see this whole idea here? You see, only talking about he will lead them out, lead them in. We read in Matthew, read in Luke. The Spirit of the Lord drove Jesus, led him into the desert, led him, leading, same idea. So behind it all is the Spirit's leading. Where is the Spirit leading? How is the Spirit leading? Now that is not going to be an easy thing to be able to identify. It's not an easy thing here. Okay, in whom is the Spirit? I think that is important. Okay. And I think this is something that we need to look at. Okay? And then after that, lay your hand on him. Now, Moses has to be saying, yes, this is the man. Lord, I recognize, I understand, you chosen, and I should accept this person as the next leader. I'm going to lay my hand upon him. Okay, so this is important for us to look at. So this is Joshua. Okay, now this has also got to be public. Set him before Eleazar the priest and before all the congregation and inaugurate him in their sight. This is going to be a public event. I hope to see this, hope, as I said, don't know whether you work out, to see this before I climb up Abarim, Pisgah, Nebo. Okay? And then I would like to see this be done. And so, obviously, this is going to be a very major event. The commissioning to train as student pastors is one thing. It's also public. Person is inaugurated. But it's not everything. It's the next stage. This one. So if Moses lay hands on this person, it signifies a lot. But even more so, it's going to be public. It's going to be before Eleazar the priest. He will have to recognize the Spirit of God is in that person. The congregation will recognize the Spirit of God is on that person. The person can lead in, can lead out. Person to bring in can bring out. And this is no easy task at all. Okay, so this is something that we need to look at very, very carefully. So the description of Joshua, one single thing stands out. Okay, in whom is the Spirit? Okay, you're going to anoint him, you're going to inaugurate, and this is over here.
Verse 20, you shall give him some of your authority. Notice the word some is in italics. Okay? Very often, authority is something you learn to handle. Okay? So, there's a little bit. And then, as you exercise it, it expands. You understand it better, more and more and more, then you understand the whole. Okay, authority, that's why we go to some, in Greek we call this a partitive genitive. Forget about it. You know, but that's what it means. In other words, we're seeing the whole and a part of it is there. The whole is very hard to speak of the whole. You can only speak of the parts. That's why they call it a partitive. And this is the idea of it all. And it's a very delicate concept, but this is something that is there. So in other words, this is the quality of the whole. Authority is abstract, right? You can't pinpoint what is authority, what is not. Okay, it's just like handling the Lord's word. There is some authority involved here. Which part of it? Is it knowledge? Is it experience? Is that wisdom? Is that an insight? Is that a speaking? Which part of it? Right? So bit by bit, you begin to understand a little bit of the authority. And you become more and more skilled at it. And then you see that that fullness of it will come. But it's not going to be there just like that. But there we go. So we understand the idea of authority. Some of your authority to him. So that the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Wow. So that is going to be quite a challenge to look at. So this authority is going to be so obvious. It's going to be power so that congregation will obey him. Now, if they're not going to obey, you can forget about it. You can't lead. Let's do this. Why? What for? That leadership is going to be really going to be obliterated, you know, in a matter of time. But so that's what is going to happen. Okay? Right? Then this is where the part of it. Now, this is the part of it. Okay? Now, the functionality is found in verse 27. Verse 21. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord by the judgment of the Urim. Wow. Can you see this? Now, this is a very different from Moses. This is Moses. He does it all by himself, solo. I mean, right? There is no need to consult with Aaron. If you consult with Aaron, golden calf will come out. So it's obviously no. Aaron has to listen to him. It's the other way around. Right? So now there was a different. So there's going to be a Joshua. There's going to be a change already. How is Joshua going to function? Joshua is going to function with Eleazar instead. So there is no longer exactly the same as Moses. So there isn't the same model. The next leader, but not the same style of leadership. Because Moses is really unique by himself. There is no other person come close to his kind of leadership. That's why they say some of your authority, obviously. Okay? Some of the authority really means to say that, for example, he can lead, yes. But he has to ask Eleazar. Now, Eleazar has to use the Urim. See, think of this as the Urim. Okay? So he was to ask the Lord, go this way or the way. He has to spin it. I don't know what he'll do with it. And then the Lord will indicate, yes, go this way. No, but go the other way. To confirm something. That's why they say some of the authority, not the fullness. All right? So there's a change of style of leadership now. One will need the other. Joshua, you cannot do this alone. Well, lots of reasons. Right? Remember, he's not Moses. Nobody's like Moses. Right? So this is important for us that we need to look at. So there is going to be a change of leadership. So you cannot say, you know, Moses can do it, so can I. Oh, you can't do that. There was now a new plan, a new order that was to be given. Okay? He shall stand before Eleazar the priest. In other words, Lord, what is your will? He's going to figure it out. He can't figure it out. He's got to ask Eleazar. Eleazar, you find out. Confirm this. And Eleazar will be there to give to him. He will inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of the Urim. And then at his word, they shall go out. At his word, they shall come in. That's how it is. So, right? So this is going to be a change of pattern, obviously. Here's Joshua. Here's Eleazar. Here is God using the Urim. We don't know what the Urim actually is. All we know is it's a special way that God communicates what it is. We don't know what it is. We don't know really. I don't want to even guess what it is. But that's what it is. And then the answer is given. The will of God is made known. Right? And then you do it. This part of it is very, very difficult to understand. You know, when we look at things like that, how to see the Lord's leading in everything. I mean, it's really, really, really challenging to figure out. Same thing with leading church in Bethany, going to India, going into Myanmar, going into Perth, you know, considering things. I didn't stand before any Eliezer either. You got to figure it out. You got to know. I wish I can tell you, but it's a really intricate process. Okay, so it's not. Well, I feel like it, you know. I you know, my hair stand on end. Therefore, you can't. I mean, that's a very, very intricate process of understanding with the Lord leading and so on and so forth. But remember, you got to go out, lead them back in, and so on and so forth. You got to do this very, very carefully. The authority is there, and then they will go out. And then when he goes out, at his word, he shall go out. At his word, they shall come in. They shall go out there and it shall come in at his word. He and all the congregation, the children of Israel, all the congregation. That is a wonders there. Otherwise, it's going to be real challenges, real problems in time to come. So leadership is about not a person himself, but it's about a lot of things. Okay? So if you want to look at a composite picture of Joshua, it's actually quite full. Okay? He has to be of some age. You cannot be a 21-year-old kid, you know, anyway, that's impossible. Okay, that's very, very important. So he has to have enough experience. He's gone to battle. You know, he's got to have proven courage. He's not going to, anakim so tall, you know, we are grasshoppers. We are not going to say that. All right? He has proven to be faithful. Right? Now, he has proven above all that the Spirit of God is upon him. You need all these things here. Right? But if he doesn't have any of these things here, he can also work with people. You want me to work with Eliezer? Fine. Wow, that. And he's going to be there. 40 years and counting with Moses. 40 years. Wow. You know, it's hard to be. Then I mean, you look at it. I mean, in today's time, those people who are very, very poor, I mean, they want to have a job. Listen, I don't mind being a driver of a big boss. I mean, that would be wonderful because, you know, this is a significant company and so on and so forth. You know, I'm very proud to be there. They all wear uniform and things like that. Sure. I mean, you're proud of big because there's no job very easily available. But you understand this. And they can stay on the job for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Nobody wants to move out. I got a steady job. If I don't do the job, what do I do? Right? It's different. Right? It's really, 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 really different kind of a thing here. But here's Joshua. Well, he's not filled with his own ideas. You know, I mean, he is amazingly faithful. Really, absolutely, amazingly faithful to Moses. They never quarreled. They always had. They understood. I mean, of course, Moses does not just him. But this was. They call him the servant of Moses. Wow, That is amazing. It takes these years to be that servant before he's ready. So this person must be prayed for. And then, of course, later on, he is inaugurated. So you can say, but you know, okay, I'm not young anymore. Okay, I qualify. I got some experience. I'm also faithful. Except this one. You see, a lot of people actually qualified too, in that sense. They also stayed with Moses, right? And so forth. This was a big one. So please read. Fill with the Holy Spirit. Read. And don't, wow, still got someone going on. I just told you, at least 80 something thereabout. Yeah, some way to go, yes. Right? And you just can, wow, I'm so weary and tired. You cannot even read 80, you're already tired. How to go and lead in now? No joke, this is really led by the Spirit. And it is not easy. This is what we're looking for, leadership. The kind of spiritual leadership that is necessary. Right? And so we read. So Moses did as the Lord commanded, took Joshua, set him, laid his hands, inaugurated him as he was commanded. Okay, now we're going to end our study over here. But the rest is just details about preparing for war, so I'm not going to go into that. But when we do come back, what I'm going to take you is to help you look at developing your life of prayer, particularly from the book of Psalms. I want to do it in a different way. I know I've written the Psalms already. I want to make this Psalm hopefully come alive to you. I think this is something that we want to look at. I hopefully will do this. Can you see this? The whole idea of the thing here. You see, because ultimately, when we talk about praying, I don't know whether you all are concerned about these things here. I hope you are concerned. I will not be here forever. I mean, seriously. Okay. I noticed some of the photographs of my face. And I look at it and say, my goodness, I didn't realize how puffy my face was until I saw it in the photograph. You may not see this. This is typical moon face effect of people who are on steroids for a prolonged period of time. And that's what I'm seeing. You don't actually see it. You know, the medical person will look at it and say, yeah, I see that. That's what my doctor said. I didn't recognize it either. When I look at my face in the morning or, you know, when I see the mirror, until you see the photograph, and then you see the puffiness. Wow. And it's such a typical sign. Okay, I won't be here forever, and I'm going to ask you to seriously pray. Well, this Sunday's Psalm 28, verse 9. Save your people and bless your inheritance. Shepherd them also, you know, and bear them up forever. These are four items of prayer which I thought would be good to close this whole series with. Right? This is from Psalm 28, verse 9. I thought, you know, literally, save your people and bless your inheritance. Right? Shepherd them also and bear them up forever. I think this is an important prayer to make. That, you know, the Lord will indeed save us, and the Lord will be our shepherd. And the Lord will bless his inheritance, and the Lord will, you know, bear us up forever, which is an important prayer. That's God's part. But God, in his plan, always works with a human leader. Now, that leader has got to come out. And it's not an easy thing to lead a people going out. Where are we going to go? What's your direction? You need to know. I mean, you cannot. I can never be a taxi driver, I can tell you this. Because I would not know how to go. Where to go? Where's the longest route? Only if I happen to know the route, yes. And there are too many routes I do not know. I am not going to be a taxi driver. Cannot. I cannot lead. I cannot go out. I can go up, I cannot come in. I would be absolutely lost, and people are going to be very, very angry with me because I don't know how to drive. I can't. I mean, that's the things I just cannot do. I mean, that's very, very obvious.
Right? I mean, we all recognize the challenges of leadership. So when Mr. Lee said that the next prime minister will be chosen by the next group of young ministers, that scares me. That really scares me. Because it may sound good, you see, whereas this one is anointed, this one is appointed, this one is ordained. What are you looking for? One thing. Spirit led. The Spirit of God has to be upon that person. It has to be. It cannot say, I'm experienced, I'm old, I'm mature, I care, and this. It's not enough. That one particular feature that was singled out for mention is this one. How do you become spirit-filled? How do you become spirit-led? And that is something that must stand out. Because with the spirit-filled, spirit-led will come authority, will come leadership. Because Joshua is going to lead the congregation at the next phase. I hope you will understand this. I thought I will end this on this thought here. This is absolutely. Now, Moses has to do as the Lord commanded, of course. Now, I'm waiting for a Joshua to arise. Right? This is very important. It doesn't mean that my name happened to be Joshua. You know, I'm going to be. You can't. It doesn't work that way. How do you do this? How do you do this? How do we look for the next leader? I think that's important. One of the items that was sung there in the church was a Mozart's Alleluia. Only know one word. Usually one word, Alleluia. Now this is a trained operatic soprano. Obvious operatic train. And she just sang with a full orchestra, like she was so used to it. You know, if you're not used to sing orchestra, you get nervous, you know. But she was just there in her element, no problem whatsoever. There's one word, Alleluia, that's it. What kind of leadership will it take to run all these things here? Most people have managers. Okay, you manage the fire, the orchestra part, manage the lighting part, manage the security part, manage the, you can divide it and subdivide it into many, many, many parts. And it looks like a wonderful organization. It becomes a company, you see? Right? Because a lot of them are presidents of their own companies. They call it a YPO, Young Presidents Organization. This is the dinner for the YPO people, basically. The new set of leaders have been inaugurated. It's a handover. Anthony is next YPO person. Well, that's the kind of thing here. But you know, you can do all these things here. One problem, in a congregation like that, it doesn't work. You can get it all organized. Let's do this, let's do that, let's do this, you know. So I'm really thankful for George looking after all the physical little. But to lead a congregation, it's not the same thing. Really not the same thing. What do we do next? Where do we go next? Wow. And I want to leave this for you all as we conclude this year's thing here. It takes prayer. It takes discernment. It takes a spiritual understanding to see this part of it all. And we have to desire very much. See, the tension was very obvious. He's going to lead the people with authority, one. He's going to lead the people so that they will obey, two. Obviously, the tension was already felt. Moses understood it. Without the authority, without the obedience, they're going to be wandering for another 40 years in the wilderness. And that's going to drive people crazy. No, it's not going to go that way. It can't. That's the problem. How do you do this? How do you develop this? Now that is the big, big problem. Right? And so, what is the answer? I don't have an answer. Prayer is waiting upon the Lord. My prayer is constantly, Lord, who is the person you are anointing?
Who is the person? You will literally, you know, that name will be very obvious to me, to everybody in congregation. This is a spirit-filled person. This is going to be the one who is going to lead next. That is not easy to determine. And I think we all recognize this. Right? There has got to be that knowledge, there's got to be that wisdom, there's got to be the depth, there's got to be the insight, there has got to be everything that you possibly may need for effective leadership. There's only one person who can do this effectively, and that's the Spirit of God. Now, I really hope that you will not only just read about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but you will desire it, you will experience it, you will see it, you will grow stronger, wiser, deeper, and you begin to realize, wow, so this is what it is. That would be wonderful. That would really, really be great. And I think that would be something that I'm praying very, very much. So Numbers 27 is very, very important to my heart. And I want very, very much. So we are going to look at planning for next year's series of thing here. I want to try to make hopefully let the Psalms come alive to you, because you're going to catch glimpses of the prayer life of the writers. And they share with us very, very close, intimate details of their life. And I think that we will help us to see what it means for us to look into the book of Psalms in that way. I think that would be wonderful. Okay? But pray much for, leadership. And, this is important. I see the same problem in Indonesia. I mean, it's a huge church group going on. The congregation is actually much bigger than ours, because the person has been there much longer too. And it's very difficult church to lead. Of course, they are poor. That's easy. It's the problem is with those who are super rich, and they actually listen to him. That's pretty amazing. And they recognize the spiritual authority that is his, and they just support him. And I saw him literally having some difficulty walking to the. He's a big guy. And there he is, and there was a man standing to him, escort him to the pulpit, and then for him to say a few words, and then to give the benediction, and then come up here again to escort him down so that he can sit there with him. And they did it because they loved him, which I thought was wonderful. But the leadership issue will be there as well. Okay, so if we want to become an IPC family all over the world, we can easily. I have people from Pakistan writing, people from India writing, people from Nepal writing, literally people from South America writing, asking to join, asking whether they are interesting to see this, to see how we can work it out. Okay, that was interesting. Well, let's... let's pray together. Tonight, our Father, we thank you for keeping us in your grace and your mercy for all these many years. And Father, we pray for wisdom to see your hand leading. And we pray, Father, for the leadership of Bethany, the IPC family, in years to come. And Father, we pray that we will look for the right things. We will look for one special quality, how the Spirit of God must be in that person who will lead us one day. And so we pray for this to begin. That we know that it's not going to be just an immediate thing, but it's going to be there, and it must become obvious to all of us too. And so we pray for the future of our church, for the leaders that will come. We ask that each one would be truly spirit-filled. Help us to desire this, to bring this to you in prayer, and to ask you to provide for us. Lord, hear this our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, keep praying for Bethany, not just for an A&A, but other things as well. Okay? So how are we able to...